Welcome to the Derm Health Co podcast. I'm Marnie, your host, and today I'm speaking with Amelia Cartmell, co-founder, director, and head of recruitment at The One Clinic Agency, an industry-specific recruitment agency that is taking the headache and the time out of hiring for clinics, device companies, and more in Australia. In preparation for our conversation, I discovered that the landscape of recruitment, especially within the beauty and aesthetics industry, is evolving rapidly. And it's estimated that the average cost of hiring an employee has surged to about $23,000 per candidate, which is a stark rise from the earlier average of around $10,000. Moreover, the time frame to fill a position has extended to approximately 82 days. That's significant. Amelia shares insights into navigating these challenges and emphasizes the crucial balance between skills, personality, you know, that hard and soft skill kind of debate, in finding the right fit for clinics, salons across Australia. I started by asking Amelia what she thought was the biggest misconception about hiring a therapist in Australia.
I think there's just confusion more so around the titles, especially in our industry. There's dermal clinicians, there's dermal therapists, there's beauty therapists. So I think just the differentiation between what are our roles and responsibilities, what is our scope of practice, the qualifications, I think it's just more confusion around the titles more than anything.
So business owners aren't sure who to hire, or that there's even what is a dermal clinician? Like, what is that?
Yeah, I think just what we can bring to the business as a dermal clinician, but also what are some of our limitations of our scope of practice, say where you would utilize a nurse, for example, within a dermatology or a medical clinic. What we have studied to be able to get to where we are, but also to the regulations in Australia. It does make it a little bit confusing because we do have regulations in Queensland and WA, whereas every other state there aren't anything. So basically anybody could be doing the role. So I think just knowing a line of who can do what is their scope of practice, and more importantly, what can they bring to the business?
Yeah, great point. So with a finger on the pulse, what are business owners saying about recruitment at the moment? Like, what's the landscape out there? Because I'm seeing things on Facebook groups that people are saying they're finding it really hard to even have anyone apply to a job. But then on the other side of it, it seems that some people are struggling to actually find a clinic to work in.
I think the industry is definitely booming, and there is no sign of it slowing down whatsoever. And I think even you look at when we undertook our degree to do dermals, there was only one university in Australia that offered the degree, whereas now there are so many courses you can undertake. But I also think there's so many grads entering the new workforce and entering the industry. So you've got that boom, but also we've got those that have been in the industry that are looking for their next step. So people might have been working for 5-10 years or less, or however long they've been working, but they're looking for that next step. They might be looking for a training position, or they might be looking for a sales role, and I guess moving out of the typical therapist treating role, they're looking for that next step.
Yeah. And when it comes to like the business owner, we know that the costs of hiring has risen significantly. So tell us more about this, and then how those smaller businesses can kind of manage those increased expenses.
So I think it really depends on the business and the role more than anything. In terms of the cost, it is so varied across the industries, and depending on the role that you are doing. I think most importantly for like your sole traders, is for them, it is so costly for them to start doing their recruitment process. It takes them out of the business. It's taking them out of seeing a client or seeing a patient. So where they could be earning money, they're taking that time out to do the recruitment process, and not allowing them to do the day-to-day tasks. Whereas if you are investing in a recruiter, yes, you do have that investment, but it is so important because you're investing in someone that is doing the specific hiring for that role. So you're getting a real dedicated team of people that is focusing on the advertisement, the marketing, the HR, onboarding, all that talent acquisition, and finding the right candidate for the role.
And even just it comes to mind, like it means then that that person could be growing the business or being a therapist in the floor if that's what they're still doing. But HR is like another skill set all in its own, isn't it? Just because you're a business owner doesn't qualify you to know how to find the right candidate based on what they're into, you know, what they're saying in the interview or how they get a sense for someone as well. So what are some of these like actual figures? Are there estimates of what it costs to hire someone in Australia?
It really ranges. So the tricky thing, it really ranges from what role you are doing, the companies, all those kinds of things. So there's, unfortunately, there's no, I guess, set costs. From a recruitment standpoint, there is either a flat fee or maybe a percentage of costing to find someone, but it really depends on what the role is.
And with this time frame that it also takes to hire someone in that's right for their business, what strategies do you tend to speak to a business owner about how they can streamline their recruitment process, whether they're using an agency or maybe they're trying to do it themselves?
Yeah, I think one is so important just from a business as a whole is making sure you do have a strategic plan in place in terms of recruitment, is making sure that there's also a thorough onboarding, a training process, and identifying what level of experience, the qualifications, the requirements you want of that candidate to fit the role, rather than trying or finding this amazing candidate that actually can't fit the duties and the responsibilities of them in the business. You want to be going into it knowing exactly who you're trying to look for, and find the right person for that rather than the flip side.
And with this, like, I guess, quite high cost of onboarding, recruitment, like that time that's invested, how does this impact the overall strategy? Like, especially for those smaller businesses, because you can hire someone, spend all this time training them, but then they might leave, so might not be right. So the overall strategy for the business, how does that come into play?
I think, yes, trying to find someone is a huge recruitment, a huge investment, whether you're going through a recruiter or you're doing it on your own. But I think it's such an important investment to make sure that you are finding the right person, and the investment's going to be worth it. I think more than anything is making sure we ask, or you are screening candidates that are fitting the requirements, because then you're less likely to be getting someone do that training process, have the onboarding, and then realizing they're not the right fit. Ultimately staff are the biggest asset to any business. So without them, you wouldn't be able to be bringing as much money into the clinic or anything like that. So I think, yes, it is an investment, but it is such an important one to have.
Yeah. And what do you think about that saying that is fire fast, hire slow? Would that kind of rings true in your philosophy?
Yeah, I think we want to, it is so easy, especially like if you've got a gap that you've got all these patients waiting for treatments, you've got that gap, you just want to fill it, get someone in the door, get them trained up as quick as possible. I think sometimes you can miss the things that you may have not gone through in the initial screening if you had slowed down a little bit, and there might be some little things that you have missed. So I think if you go through it, slow down the process, perform those interviews and anything that you need to do to make sure that, again, you're finding the right person and you're not getting too far down the track and realizing it's not a good fit, because then you've just got to start the process again.
Yeah, totally. I'd like to hear your feedback on job descriptions specifically, because people think, oh yeah, easy, just write a kind of dot list of all the things that you need, minimum requirements, that kind of thing. But you may have seen some, I guess you could say, doozies in the past. And how important is getting that job description right in order to then make sure that you're equaling or getting the right candidates applying?
It's essential. Ultimately, we come back to making sure that you're finding the candidate that you need for the job. So if you haven't sat down to go, okay, what would their day-to-days look like? What are all their tasks, responsibilities? What are the treatments they're going to be delivering? What products do they need to know? I think if you're not having that set down before you go to market, you're less likely to find the right candidate. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, if for someone looking and reading a job description or job advertisement, is you want them to read through that and go, yes, I do all those things and I'd love to do that in my next role, rather than presenting a situation that may not be the case and then they're getting into the role and it's, I guess it's different to what they've applied for. It is so important to have that in place before you go to market, before you start the interview process. Otherwise, it's just going to make it all a bit too confusing and end up potentially hiring the wrong candidate.
That terminology, like looking for someone bubbly and those generic terms, they're just not really cutting it if you want someone that's going to really match with your company's vision and values, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So how has recruitment changed since this gig economy? Because that's been really on the rise, probably since COVID, maybe just before that as well. What have you seen in the industry from this?
I think we've really seen candidates that aren't just doing one thing. You're looking at people, and I know, I guess when we were in the beauty industry, we were beauty therapists. We worked at one place. We were there probably Monday to Saturday. Whereas now the more dermals, the cosmetic nurses, anyone that we're talking to, they're either working across multiple locations or they're treating and then they're doing something on the side, like they might be marketing, which is really great for candidates because we do have the flexibility. We don't necessarily just have to be at one place. But I think on the other side of it is the security of that is a bit risky. Not only the security for the candidate and having job security, but more so with the employer, because anyone wants that security in their who they're hiring or where they're working or anything like that. So for us, we still typically recommend the traditional full-time, permanent, part-time roles. And utilizing contractors outside of your business. So utilizing marketing agencies, recruitment agencies, social media agencies, rely on those contractors and the people that are going to be in your business and treating day to day. We typically keep with that full-time and permanent part-time approach.
Yeah, good point, because they're ultimately the face of your business, the people that your clients, patients are going to be seeing on a day-to-day basis, and having differences in, like, I know when I've been to places and it's like, oh boy, there's a whole new group of people here than I was here like 6 weeks ago. What's happened? Yeah. I think that psychology from a client perspective, if there's a lot of shifts happening, can be a little unwavering as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about the One Clinic agency. How do you help small businesses navigate these challenges?
So we are allowing clinic and company owners really to focus on their business, be in the treatment room, be on the road doing their sales that they need to be doing, and we focus on the recruitment process from start to finish. So we're learning all about our clinic owners, their business, everything about it. So then when we are screening and shortlisting the candidates, we're putting forward the best people for the role. And we all tailor the whole recruitment process to whatever the requirements are of the job, and allowing that clinic owner to be on the floor focusing on their business, and we take control of the recruitment.
Amazing. End-to-end kind of service. Yeah. And talk us through the actual step-by-step, that life cycle, what happens when someone first contacts you from the time that they actually bring someone on.
It really varies in terms of a time frame on the role and the whole process. So typically, a recruitment process could go anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. It might be longer depending on the position and making sure that we are finding the right candidate for that role. So as we really want to get to know not only our candidates that we're trying to find work, but also getting to know our clinic owners or the managers that we're talking to and knowing all the information and all the details about their business. We kind of like to almost picture ourselves that we are in the business and doing the recruitment, not just that they've hired us to do it. We want to almost envision us in the clinic or in the space, because then it allows us to find someone that will really fit that role, and it be a success for not only our candidates, but more and our clinic owners as well.
Amazing. And I'm sure it's kind of exciting to be integrated with that, because the business might be quite small to begin with. They might be making their first hire, right? But over that period of time, you can see the growth of their business because of the good candidates that have been matched, and then see how they hire their second, third, fourth people. Have you been able to be on a journey with some people like that as well?
Yeah, we definitely have, and it is very rewarding, and we see when they're celebrating that someone has been there for 12 months. So we've been very lucky to be partnered with a global device company in Australia, and we have grown their team. It was quite a small team, and we've made it a lot larger, and it's been really rewarding seeing that process, because we have worked closely with the business in every aspect of the business, and we're always having open communication with them. We're having regular check-ins to find the right person, and it's been really great to see how their team has grown with us.
That's amazing. So there's two things I want to ask around this. One is, so you're not just hiring just for clinics. You're hiring across the industry. Is that right?
Yes. So we recruit for medical aesthetics and all roles from clinical to non-clinical. So it's not just dermal clinicians. We have placed candidates in area sales managers, business development managers, clinical trainers, dermal clinicians, cosmetic nurses. We do it all.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then obviously it's a joy and an excitement and celebration when someone's been there for that 12-month period. What advice would you give to small business owners to retain their existing talent? Because once you've got them, you're not guaranteed to keep them forever.
Yeah, I think in our industry in particular, professional development and training is everything. I think we all have such a love for the industry and a passion for learning, and there's always new things coming out in the industry. But I think in general, investing in that time for professional development, whether that might be attending conferences or even just like a professional development day and training days within the clinic itself, and incentives, commission structures, everyone can be a little, like, can be money driven from that side of things. But I think looking at all aspects will be good.
Yeah. So when it comes to that employee training, upskilling, what's your perspective on the division of responsibility between the employer and the employee? Because I think from a dermal clinician perspective, like the therapists that go on to do a degree, or they might do clinical nursing or something, they are obviously driven to get to that stage. But then when they're actually in a workplace, how's that balance of like training and upskilling? Whose responsibility is it ultimately?
I think it's a bit of both. There really needs to be a balance between employee and employer. Ultimately, having open communication and having check-ins within your staff, whether that will be weekly or fortnightly or monthly, whatever you want to decide as your check-ins, I think it's so important to have that open communication and ask the employees, what else do you want to be learning? What do you want to be, what are you finding any gaps in what you're doing, or in terms of the education that you're giving clients, what do they see as their gaps? But also as an employee to be still looking at what training or upskilling they may want. So I think it really does need to be a balance between the two.
And then obviously we're always getting new technologies that are coming out, workplaces are bringing these things in. How have you seen that this has kind of changed the skill sets that have been sought after a new hire begins?
I think making sure that the candidate does have the skill set and the ability to use, but I think more than anything is like let's say you are bringing on a new laser, is they may not have used that particular laser in the past, but they might have used a similar wavelength on a different device. So things like that are sometimes an easier change to make, but I think we've gone away from your traditional pick up the phone and ask your patient how they went with follow-up. So I think even utilizing different apps or communication methods, but also from a social media standpoint. So I guess not just looking at what their skill set is as a practitioner, but also maybe what can they help in terms of marketing, or can they help write policies and procedures within the clinic as well.
Yeah, that's right. I think traditionally in the industry, a therapist has been a therapist and they treat, right? But there's so many other elements that are required in a business to keep a business running, to continually upskill, to market and educate clients as well. So to have those systems in place where you can kind of move people around depending on their skill set, I think is really important. Yeah. You mentioned that with the boom of the industry, there's obviously all these new hires coming in. What advice do you give to business owners when there's this challenge of team members that may have been placed, great for the business, but then there's this significant training post-hire?
I think in the interview process, identifying potentially what level of training that candidate might require once they're in the space, but also to utilizing a trial period or a trial in the interview. So you might have someone that you go through some little questions and then having a trial to see, okay, how do they hold a device? How do they cleanse the face, for example? But I think most importantly is having a training plan in place, and that will need to be tailored to the person, depending on how they learn. We all learn very differently, but also lean on the device and skincare companies. They're there to help and they're there to support anyone through this industry and getting staff trained up. So getting them in and training them on new employees, it doesn't just have to be the clinic owner that's doing the whole training process, because again, that's taking them out of that space that they could be seeing their own patients or clients. So utilize the external companies that you've got as well.
Great advice. And I think that just points to another thing. Just because you're a business owner doesn't mean you're the best educator or the best at training. That is also a skill set, right? Yeah. So we've talked about some of those more hard skills. In your experience, how should small businesses kind of navigate the difference between hiring for soft skills versus hard skills?
Yeah, I think that's where your trial or a practical component really comes in place. I think we always did it in beauty. That was always part of the interview. And I think over the last few years, it's probably not as popular. So we definitely recommend trialing a little bit of a practical component within the interview. But also from a recruitment standpoint and using a recruitment agency, we can also facilitate personality assessments to make sure that candidate is the right cultural fit as well.
Yeah, so important to have that, because on paper they can look really great, but if they're not going to fit with the culture within your business, then yeah, it's a toughie. In terms of like every business has their unique attributes, their unique selling proposition, How do you think that small businesses can actually relay this to attract top talent? Because traditionally this is used in marketing to attract clients. Mm-hmm. But how do you think that this kind of same concept can be used to attract new therapists, new employees within the business in such a competitive market?
I think speak to their experience and their knowledge. They clinic owner might have been working in the business for upwards of 15, 20 years. And I think utilizing that and how they can share their knowledge to someone that's going to be part of the business, I think that's the most important thing. And what the candidate potentially might learn off them, or what an asset that they would bring into the clinic. But I think more importantly, just focus on what they can bring and the knowledge that they can share to someone.
Amelia, I'd love to ask, it's a little bit taboo, like in terms of someone's working for another clinic, they're kind of thinking that they would like to move for whatever reason it is. What's your position on when should someone, like this is from a therapist's perspective, actually start looking for a role? Can they contact, say, the one clinic agency to say we're looking for a role, or is it more you come from that other perspective that you're there for the business owners?
So we have both. So ultimately, as what we offer is we definitely do that recruitment process for the clinic and the companies, but also we do have a growing database of candidates. So if you are a therapist or a clinician or a cosmetic nurse or anyone in this industry that is working in medical aesthetics, if you maybe just want to have a finger and idea of what jobs are out there and what's coming up, they can absolutely sign up to our database and we can have a conversation with them. And then we're tailoring the jobs that we might send to them. We do sometimes get some off-market roles as well. So we might have already someone on our database that we can contact. So I guess there's no time frame. Anyone can sign up to our database and we have a confidential conversation with that person. And then we can make sure that we're finding them the right role.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's, yeah, it's good because I think you're always wanting to look for career progression. And while you still hear of people that are in the same role with the same company for 15 years, I think that the newer kind of generation, the newer therapists are looking for learning, for, you know, using the newest and biggest laser or enhancing their skill set, whether that be working at a more clinical role or bigger machinery, et cetera.
Yeah. And I think when we started in the industry, I think there was an element we didn't even know where we could work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, especially if you are a new graduate or a new student that's still studying, is I think it's great because then you can start seeing what positions you might want to work or where you could take your career, because really the options are a little bit endless. And I think it is good to see what else is out there, and not only that conversation to like based on their experiences, where could they get a position, or as you said, what career progression is actually there for them.
Yeah, great point. So true. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know. So there could be all these amazing roles out there that you have no idea that is even available to you.
Yeah.
I'd love if you have any that you could share, some success stories of small business owners that have used your recruitment services with the one clinic agency.
Mm-hmm. So definitely that global device company that I mentioned, that was it was really rewarding seeing their team grow. But we've been really lucky that we've worked with so many different clinics across Australia. So we've worked with dermatologists and cosmetic physicians and vascular surgeons, device companies. So we've been very lucky in placing multitude of candidates in a lot of different roles. So it's been a great time.
That's awesome. And Amelia, where to from here? What do you envision for the One Clinic Agency?
I think just continuing to provide support, not only to those looking for work, but also to the support to the clinic owners that just, they don't have the time to perform the recruitment process. So reaching out to us and we can get an idea and get an understanding of their business and finding the right candidates for the job.
Amazing. Where can people find more about you, Gem, and the work that you're doing?
So they can go to theoneclinicagency.com.au. They can email us at hello@theoneclinicagency or theoneclinicagency on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, we'll put all of those details in the show notes so they're all easy to click, but go ahead and follow the One Clinic Agency, ladies, because you never know when you might be looking for a new team member or a new role. Thanks so much for joining me today, Amelia.
No worries. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that wraps up another episode. Thank you so much for joining us this week. It was wonderful to have you here again. We will be launching another podcast episode next week, so be sure to tune in. And although it's lovely to listen and learn from podcasts, and I know it's easy just to consume and learn and learn and learn, but at one point, the integration and adding what you have learned into your life is really important too. So if you've got some takeaways from this episode, I would love for you to share them with us and perhaps others on social media, because you never know, it might help their business or their professional and personal development grow as well. So make sure you tag any key takeaways from this episode at dermhealth.co and digitalhealth.co. I'll see you again next week. Bye.